This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My guest tonight represents a group of 14 people, I think, who are working together in the Stonington Jazz Festival to bring to life a work that he has composed, but it's been inspired by a suite by Duke Ellington. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the Bent Notes studio, Steve. Back in 2015 was the last time you were here, and that was The Art of Deep Listening. But it's my pleasure to welcome back to the studio, Steve Settergreen.
It's great to be here.
Steve, it was back in 2015 that we last chatted, and it was The Art of Deep Listening project, which you performed at the Wangaratta Festival that year.
Correct, yes.
And it was an amazing experience to sit in the audience and watch that. The project kicked off in 2008, but I noticed on your website that that project is still ongoing. Does that mean that that project is still continuing to develop and demonstrate those deep listening skills?
Well, I was at the recital centre last night having a great time with my fellow colleagues. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing, the art and beauty of deep listening. It's just not my thing. It's actually a collective thing. It's just when you use a bit of historical context, I'm always looking for answers. I never get the answers. That's what I love about jazz. It's not exact science. But going back so far is really, really a great way for me to be in tune with the music. And I think that's what I'm really on about, you know, with great musicians. That's what's about. Somehow you're in tune. And I think a lot of people with all technology stuff, it's not they're not in tune, they're in tune to something else, you know. So I'm trying to bring out, so listening is such an important part of my process of teaching, educating young people, older people, and also when I play. I hardly talk, I just play and just I love the piano and away we go, you know.
When you go to a music concert of any genre, though, I suppose the objective is actually to hear the music. It's not to listen to someone chat away. You're actually there to hear the music, so that's an important thing to do.
Yeah, well, some people like to take up a lot of space, you know, and that's good. You go to a conversation and someone likes to do that, and some people like to do other stuff. So for me, it's a beautiful way of just connecting with people that I love. I love audiences. I love playing. I love performing. You've seen me many times perform. The love of music, especially from a jazz background, I've been very blessed, you know, with my family and other musicians who I consider my family. It's just a beautiful thing, and I like sharing it. That's basically it in a nutshell.
Have you found that your listening has changed since taking on this project so many years ago?
Yeah, it's given me, really, it gets back to Duke Ellington, you know, sense of freedom, you know. A lot of people like to call it improvise. Some people don't like to call it jazz. You know, there's all these other genres going on. Look, it's just playing with a sense of freedom and a beauty, and everyone has a different energy. And if we're really respectful to each other, we get to connect in a way that's very beautiful. And more importantly, the audience is the most important people in the room, because the audience give you the answers, and each one's is very different. It doesn't matter if it's a comedy show, which we're going for the Comedy Fest at the moment, or it doesn't matter if we're doing a jazz concert I did last night, playing piano, didgeridoo, drums, or what's coming up with the Ellington and Billy Strayhorn music that we'll have a really, really good go at in a couple of weeks' time.
When you're out there creating things as a musician, you're using your brain to think about, I suppose, things that you've done in the past and what the right chords are and whatnot coming up. But is that a conscious effort, or is that just one of those things that the brain just guides you and you do it?
Yeah, that's more gets to the way we practice. So as I was saying before, as a jazz pianist, yeah, I'm always looking for answers. I've been asking answers since I was about 15, 16, saying, how do you do this? How do you do that? And a good teacher won't tell you the answers. So I practice in a very fixed and a very disciplined way, not too wide. There's a lot of information out there. But when I get to the moment, if you're in tune with the other musicians and the audience, you'll come up with something. And if you get the opportunity to do that, that's what I love. And that's why I love the elders of jazz. That's why I've gone heavily on this Ellington project and Billy Strayhorn project of the Far East Suite, even though there will be more of a show and a style for the fantastic Stonington Festival. I just went up to Chelsea Wilson and said, there's some guys, it's actually more than 40 musicians, actually two big bands are involved with this and a whole lot of guests. There's probably about 32 musicians to count. I've somehow got to make that work.
That's a bit of a challenge for you.
Well, I like a challenge. If you like me, I like taking risks. My big hero, Herbie Hancock, put his hand on my shoulder once and said, Steve, it's all about risk taking. I was very happy one day. And then his colleague, Wayne Shaw, said, it's like my old man, how you scramble your eggs, which didn't make any sense to me, but I loved it anyhow. So I was just saying, it's just meant to be what it is. So when music's really beautiful, and it can be any style of music, it doesn't have to be jazz, that's my mother tongue, it really connects with people and takes people away and takes them on a beautiful journey. And that's what I'm really into. If I can get that every night I play, doesn't matter if I'm playing in a little small club in the city or if I'm playing anywhere, just a solo piano gig somewhere, if I can make some people communicate with me, then I felt like I've done my job.
So is that the magic secret of those great musicians such as Duke Ellington in being able to grab their audience and the audience stay with them for forever, basically?
Yeah, well, Duke Ellington was a great leader, you know, so that appeals to me, a piano player who's a leader of great musicians in a different time, much different time, and they were looking for brothers and sisters who were going for the same thing, and they got grants to travel. As you mentioned before, you played that beautiful music of Strayhorn early on the show. I just have a fascination with Ellington for some reason. I seem to play in the same register, even though I like fiery type piano players, those who know me. It's just something about him and his music and his colleagues that are really wonderful. And I think that's what I'm looking for at this stage in the world that's quite, you know, beautiful out there, but we just seem to be going in circles somehow. I think the music brings us all together. So I'm going to try and create, in that Stoddington Festival, we've got the closing festival, closing bit of the festival, which is big for me, right? Closing one of the festivals.
Closing night
yes, on May 20th. May 20th. Yeah, you're reading my mind. See, yeah. Deepest thing right
well,
there.
Well, I've just been wondering here, Steve, whether you've seen my notes, because you've just answered three of my questions before I even asked them.
Well, that can happen in some sort of way. But look, there's lots of guests, different guests from different parts of Australia and Southeast Asia and different elements of the museum. I'm trying to really see how we would do it here and now, right now. And that's the title of the show, Here and Now. They've worked with Chelsea Wilson, who's the curator of the festival. She's done a fantastic job. She's put a lot of these musicians together. Some I haven't worked with before, some, but there'll be two big bands playing during the night. Somehow I've got to make it all work. So I'm really looking forward to making it really special before and going out on a real big bang.
So have you got two big bands playing that share musicians, or is it two completely separate groups?
Look, there's I'm into younger musicians, helping younger musicians, and there's a young
because
guy.
You're an educator yourself, aren't you?
Yes, I've been an educator through high schools, universities. I've helped a lot of great bands sort of start. I'm a bit of an initiator, love doing that. I like putting back in. I think it's very important in a small scene like here in Melbourne that we must put back in. What you do if you're a great teacher, you get them started, and then they've got to find their way. But somehow, sometimes it gets a little bit tough, so I said, right, let's put this thing together. Actually, Ben Delves from the Lowdown Big Band came with the idea. I said, okay, give it to me. I'll talk to Stonington and we'll make it work. I've got some of the best musicians I can possibly get my hands on, different ilks, to play a bit of Duke Ellington's music. But I've got all these other wonderful guests that are going to create. So it's not just us reproducing, because that's really easy now with young people. They love to reproduce things and rethink, which is fantastic. But I want to give it a little bit of a different spin and really getting back to that thing of finding your other brothers and sisters that are following the same traits as we are.
Picking up on a point you made earlier and around the education side of things, we were talking about so much that's around us these days that takes our attention, and yet in your listening, you've got to be able to listen and concentrate on that without the attention grabbers of the technology we have.
Yeah.
When you're educating these younger kids, are you finding that it's more difficult these days to grab their attention into the listening mode away from their devices than it was, say, 10 years ago?
Look, I've gone with my brother, with my own band, Mistaken ID, with different elements. It keeps evolving. I think it's a fantastic thing. You know, things keep changing. But what's really missing is, if you go back in time, so I was just trying to chase historical context with jazz because that's my mother tongue, but if you go back to music, it's all about storytelling, rhythm or time feel, which I like to kill, and I like getting to a different state. So imagine how it all started with some bird sounds, someone hitting some rocks or some sticks, and away you go, and there's music, right? I try and get back to that. I'm trying to look for truth all the time. I play with a lot of truth. That's really what I'm all about. I try and make that audience, if I can get some sort of emotional connection. See, last night I had people say, I have really a lot of tears and stuff like that, and I said, wow, right, cool. Not that I'm going for the tears, but really you give so much. It doesn't matter what sort of gig it is. You really want to connect with people. And this is where you're fantastic. I've seen a few of my gigs, and even as a side man, it's just you want that support and connect with people. And really your job is to take your audience away from all their problems, right? Even you don't worry about your own problems, you just take them away. So getting back to education, if we talk about Indigenous people, they just sit there and do nothing. It's like they're contemplating, but they're not doing nothing. They're actually being in tune with everything that's around there. And that's really hard to do because we've got everything going so fast. Now, I go really fast. I play fast. I go really fast. You know, if you see my hands, they go up the keyboard and stuff like that and stuff like that. And I like playing that. But if you really just listen and you make the mind still, everyone knows what to do. As soon as you try and interrupt that process, you might miss out. So you just got to wait and be a bit more patient, which has taken me a long time. I turned 52 just a couple of days ago.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Well, thanks for that. Yeah. But more importantly, it just takes time. And that's all you need, a bit of time, a bit of love, a bit of musical love, and really try and help anyone who's interested in any style of music and really make them feel special.
My guest on Bent Notes is pianist, educator and composer Steve Settergreen.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Steve, when a composer says they're inspired to write a piece because of something or someone or somewhere, what do they mean in terms of putting notes on the page and the performance?
Well, everyone has probably a different aspect, but to me is I love travelling and I like the earth of our country. Is the earth or the place or a feeling and try and hold on to that feeling. And sometimes the initial composition response develops into a composition. So improvisation, not that I like this term, you know, instantaneous composition. I don't really like that personally. It's just sense of freedom. But if you're in, I know I'm repeating myself, but if you're in tune with something that you're connected with and you can mold it and shape it and work with the people that you're working with, you can come up with something wonderful. And that's what composition to me is like. So on my last album, I'll probably bring out another two albums in the next year or so. I'm on a bit of a time trip, you know, endless time with storytelling and, you know, stories, lost stories, and then session time. It's just getting close to what I'm doing with a lot of the guys with this later show at Stonington. But the idea of composition is to make something. You mold it, you put it all together, and you keep evolving. So something you might have written in my 20s might be redeveloped later in my 40s and 50s.
Is that saying that the inspiration you had originally is still there, but you've got a different focus on what that means these days?
You've got a different maturity, you know. So I think it's really about just being really, really completely deep with the process and keep working for it. As musicians or as performers, we're all perfectionists really deep down. And so really jazz to me is about discovery and working that. And we don't want to lose that element. We don't want to make it like an exact science. That's where the education can sometimes, people think you got to get through this process to get to this process. I think someone's got a character and you work with that. Everyone works differently. I'm pretty open and I'll work with anyone. I like leading. So that's why Duke Ellington's really important. If you come and see me, you'll see, I saw direct with hands and stuff, but don't really, I can't tell you what to do. I can just tell you how to get there. And that's basically what I like to do. So run being directive together, and you just can give a wink or a look or something like that, and away you go. So that's really where the focus of the show is for me.
As you say, the work you're doing this year is based on Duke Ellington's Far East Suite as your inspiration. Have you looked at it as not copying but duplicating the sequence that Duke's done, or have you looked at it more as a sense of, well, you've interpreted his inspiration of what he's done, and then you've used that to create something brand new?
Well, I've never practiced so hard on someone's, because it's really hard for me to play like someone else. You know, I've done, if you see my journey, I've done music of Stevie Wonder and now Duke Ellington and these great leaders of music, right? I've had to get inside the music to really understand the music, to open it up. So it's very, very, technically, it's huge. It's a little like a precursor to what happened later. So you can work with the music and really, really enjoy that process. But when it comes to the concert, obviously, I have to make it different. Not for ego's sake. I've just got to make it real and keep it close to the spirit. So I think that thing of searching for other brothers. Remember, everything was in America and it was different times back then, right? And Billy Strayhorn, this was his last work before he died. So this is a very important part of Strayhorn. Strayhorn and Ellington had this great relationship. Really, really unbelievable. You know, they looked after each other. They worked together. The music is very complex. If I get inside it, there's certain, sorry to talk chord language, but there's certain orchestral chord shapes that I've got to get inside to really learn. So the process I do is try and get inside the music, but then you got to let go and make it your own without being disrespectful for the music.
From what I've read, the work that Duke's put together, the Far East Suite, is based upon his international tour and the countries he's visited. But you've looked at this interpretation as being somewhat closer to home because, as I've read, Australia, Papua New Guinea, yes, are two of the countries that you're interpreting.
Yes.
Does that mean that you're interpreting them the way that you feel Australia and Papua New Guinea?
Look, we're trying to find all different elements because they went to Asia, mainly Asia. They got grants, you know. They called the Near East Suite, some of those people that didn't dig what Duke was doing, right? It was only a very short period, but I thought for me, closer to home, you know. I spent a lot of time in the Northern Territory and learned a lot of stuff. They called me the flip around man and up north of them, being up to Tiwi with Mike and Ron Murray, who I worked with last night. We've been up that far, you know, been to amazing places, you know, been to Canada. But for me to make this more honest, I couldn't do it somewhere where I haven't been. Does it make sense? And that's why I got all these guests, because they are going to help me bring their part of the world and what they understand. If they're open enough, then we're going to create some real magic on this May 20th, the Far East, or Here and Now, the Far East Suite.
Where did the Here and Now, or where did the name of the suite come from? You've got Here and Now in front of the Far East Suite.
Yes.
What's the expression for Here and Now? Is that simply referencing the fact that this is today's music suite inspired by the Far East?
That's what it is, David. It's about how would we do it. So, you know, when I did Points in Time, that was about how I played something in my 20s or my 30s or my 40s. How would I do it today? And it's a similar sort of thing. If I was able to, you know, I missed out on Ellington. I didn't get to see Ellington. I saw other big bands, and Dad did the support with other musicians. We got to see a lot of great musicians. That was just a little bit before I was here, right? Or very young, 4 or 5 year old. He came out here and did amazing, amazing performances. Just inspired by that man. He, a great musician, great. He was a great educator, a great giver. He dedicated his whole life to music. And he's a great pianist. And so for me, there's a register sort connection, and there's something, I don't know, I can't work it out, but it's just something resonating. And studying his music now has made me a much better musician.
Oh, that's good to hear from that, and that really reflects for anyone, doesn't it? That if you actually look, listen and get into the detail, you will always get more out of it.
Well, you do. And so that's opened me up to things. And as where I'm going with my musical career, I'm sort of connecting of what he's trying to do or what they're trying to work there. There's lots of we make a lot of assumptions a lot of the time, but some of those assumptions are pretty much on the mark, you know, or those conversations that work really good. So you've got a bit of an idea what they do, but how would you present it here and now? And that's really important to me, is like, so I didn't was reproduce the show and like, we're going to play this and get some charts out and stuff like that. How can we make it so relate and relate to other people outside the jazz genre? So Stonings is a great festival. It really opens up to other people, a different audience.
And there's a very big difference this year with a number of activities and performances that have stretched the boundaries outside of what one might normally associate with, quotation marks, jazz.
Yes, well, I think that's, again, this evolvement, which is changing. If you're an old school person, might go, well, maybe you're missing something here, but there's also new. And I think this is really important, not to forget about the past, but to work into where it could be. You know, everyone comes into it differently, and that's what's great about jazz. It doesn't matter what background you're from. This is what jazz, and this is what Ellington's good. Sense of freedom, but more important, we don't care what your background is, as long as you can communicate in the way of the music and be yourself. That's really it in a nutshell for me. And all I can do is play the piano okay, right? I love it, right? I've loved it from my very first piano lesson. You know, I had a blind teacher and a daughter, and I just hit the right C up the top, and the rest was...
The rest is history.
The rest is history. Next week I was there, I was practicing. I love the world of exploring at the piano, and this has been it. And I've been very blessed to have a father that is a great musician as well, who's played with all the greats. He's played with his record collection, but now I want to take it somewhere further with other fellow musicians in this great town of ours.
Your Here and Now Far East Suite is happening at Chapel Off Chapel, Sunday night, May the 20th. It's the closing night of the festival. What a great spot to be. And is there something in particular in the suite that you're especially looking forward to presenting to the audience on that night? Is there a particular point in the suite?
Well, I've sort of worked out what might happen, right? But we've got a whole myriad of great musicians. We've got a didgeridoo player, Ron Murray, that I work with, and we've got sitar, we've got beautiful vocalists, we've got beautiful musicians, we've got young musicians that are aspiring. I think there'll be a magic moment. I will try and find it, but I can't give you it away right now because I don't know until I get there. But I'm hoping, if we got something that was very Australian with the storytelling And if Ron could find something about the East, because the East is really important to me. Like we keep, we don't, when they say the Far East Week, we're not going East, we're going somewhere else. We go North and we don't even go South, you know, we go West maybe from here, right? But something like that. But if I can encapsulate something like that with the great musicians, it's not about me, it's about the music. If I can get that moving sometime in the concert, I'm going to be really happy. But what I do is the first note's really important, then the next note's really important, and then I'm going to try and hold on to that for the whole – there's two sets. I think it's two 45, 50-minute sets of like a concert. I'm going to try and hold up right to the last note and make every one of those guys in the orchestra sweat a bit, right, and make sure that they're in tune, and hopefully – it'll be something and they'll be very memorable, and hopefully we can do another one day after that.
It would be great to see the same philosophy behind a different source of music as inspiration. But I get the impression, Steve, from the way you're talking, that there will be much more than one special point. There's going to be many of them throughout the night.
Let's hope so. Okay, cool. We will make sure that people love it. I would book to this really early because it's not a huge venue, Chapel, a great venue for great music.
You're in the Chapel, I think, aren't
you? Yeah, Chapel. Yeah. It's a fantastic room. It'll be really, really good. I've had a look at the room again and I'm really looking forward to that. Make sure you book your tickets pretty early for a festival gig like this. Get in there and come and shake my hand or shake the musicians' hands. I hope to promote something else with you again, David. It's been fantastic.
That would be marvellous. For more details about Steve Settergreen himself, you can check out stevesettergreen.com. But for far more information about the Here and Now Far East Suite and tickets and program information for this year's Stonington Jazz Festival, head to stoningtonjazz.com.au. Steve Settergreen, thank you again for chatting tonight here on Bent Notes. I do look forward to your return visit to Bent Notes at some stage in the not-too-distant future.
I hope so. Look, I really love this program. It's great what you guys do. Very, very, very great for us musicians. Thank you very much. And I hope to see you guys real soon.
That would be fantastic, Steve.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.